That was a pretty inspiring video. I mean, if we looked at the whole service today, we got to hear from our sister Nagi and her adventures and her calling to the Middle East. We got to see one of our own sisters in church be able to sing a song. We got to watch this video. We got to play some games. And there's been this kind of running thing which we're trying to get through of faith, that there are things we see, that there are things we experience, there are things we know. But to live by faith means something else. And the passage that we acted out earlier, this one from Mark chapter 2, and I'm just going to read this again. And you guys can, as I read it, you can visualize what people are doing. You can visualize the tall people being the colonnades. You can visualize the strong people lifting up Rebecca into the roof. But let me just read this out. But wherever you do, just try to imagine what it must have been like for the people at that time, what was really happening in the scene. So, and this is from Mark chapter 2. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified, saying, "We never saw anything like this." That last line, "We never saw anything like this." When was the last time you saw something that completely blew you away, that completely left you absolutely flabbergasted? Like you were like, "Oh my gosh, I cannot believe that that just happened. I cannot believe." And I don't mean like in a horror or a tragedy or what happens in the States. I'm talking about something that is so amazing and so good that you stop and you say, "Wow, that is amazing. That blows me away." Sometimes when I remember, so recently the new Star Wars films have been coming out, The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, and I was excited about them. But let me tell you about after the original trilogy, when they were going to release the new ones, episode 1, 2, 3. I will tell you, I was so excited about those films, and I watched the trailer maybe like 100 times because I was so excited. And then when I saw that film, I was so ready to watch the new Star Wars come together, and I watched episode 1, and I was so disappointed. I was so shocked. I felt that it was racist, and I hated the child actors. Everything about made me cringe. And I remember that moment thinking, like, you know, I am never going to get excited about a Star Wars film again because I'm just going to be let down. And it's one of those things where you begin to learn to temper your expectations. Now, our problem is we temper our expectations on what God can do. Do you really believe that God is so amazing, that he is so astounding, that there is really nothing that he cannot do? When we talk about faith, we are talking about this realization that our God is incredible, that he is outstanding, that he is phenomenal, that what you have heard about him does not compare to what he can actually do. And for these four men who brought their paralytic friend, they were saying to him, "You know what? Let's go and see this Jesus because we heard that he might be able to heal you. We heard that he is good. We heard that he has this power." But it wasn't just that. They're like, "No, we really believe that this guy can do something about it. So let's break through the roof and lower him down." What we are realizing is that's the power of Jesus, that there really is things that he can do and that he can show you that you have not seen or experienced before. This year, when we're talking about faith and as we're going through the 40 days of faith, looking through the book of Mark, we are asking each of us in the congregation to say, "God,
Will you show me more of who you are? Will you let my belief in you be expanded more than it ever has been before? Now, the big thing I want to point out about this is that actually one of the biggest things that Jesus does is that he transforms your relationships. Relationships that you might imagine were broken or so damaged or so hurt or so impossible. Jesus can transform these relationships. When we look at the story, we see these four men, and then there's a paralyzed man. And for us, the miracle is this man gets up and walks. For a paralyzed person, that is life-changing. But it's not life-changing because he can walk again. It's life-changing because now it changes the nature of his relationship with everyone around him. He's not someone that they need to carry and lower down the roof. He's not someone that the four people just need to help along. It's like the blind girl who felt like she was a burden to her parents and the people because she needs help all the time. What happens here is that Jesus transforms that relationship completely. This paralyzed man who is broken and is stuck there now is part of that group in a different and vibrant way. For a lot of us, in our relationships that we have with our friends or our family or in our workplaces or with one another, they feel paralyzed. They feel stuck. Maybe you have broken up with someone and those wounds are still hurting with you. Or maybe you are in a marriage that feels so frustrating. Or maybe you are in a relationship right now that feels like you have no way out. And for us in the West, we want to pick the way that is easiest for us. But when you go to Jesus, when you look to him, when you say, Jesus, will you astound me? He has the ability to transform what you think is broken into something amazing and to breathe life into something that you didn't even know that there was life before. He transforms your relationships with the people around you and with the people close to you. But there's something even more amazing that happens here. When Jesus says to the person, he says to the Pharisees, you know, what is easier? Is it for me to say that I can forgive their sins or that this person get up and walk? He's saying, actually, you're right. It is impossible for a human to say that their sins are forgiven. Jesus is saying that he is God. There is no doubt about it. He is God. He has the same authority, and he forgives this man. He forgives their sins. What we realize is that Jesus transforms our relationship with God. You are no longer cast away. You are no longer rejected. You are no longer under that judgment and shame, but rather you are under a judgment that brings love, that brings reconciliation, that brings peace and hope. What we don't realize is that actually our spiritual condition is far more important than your physical condition. There are all these studies talking about how much stress affects your life, affects your health. And they know that this stress is the sort of thing that happens to your body. But what they're missing out is actually stress, although physiologically is part of it, the spiritual life and your spiritual condition, your spiritual health, brings even more influence into your body, into your person, into your relationships than ever before. So by seeking God and saying, God, actually, will you transform this relationship between me and you? One of the key prayers is actually saying, God, will you transform my spiritual relationship with you so that I don't see things with my own eyes, that I don't walk just by my own strength, but you open my spiritual life to something true and something real. He transforms lives. He will transform you altogether from what you were into something new and those relationships with one another in completely different ways. It's with that that we want to come away thinking, actually, Jesus, you know, I want to say this. I want to say this out loud, right? I want to get to a point where I see something and I say, you know what? I have never seen anything like that. There was a family who was broken, but now they are love one another. I have never seen anything like that, but I want something more, right? I want to see, you know, this family or this relationship, they were on the brink of divorce, and now they are not only in love with another, but they are serving God with a whole heart. I have never seen anything like that. The thing is, I have seen those things, both in my own life, in my family's life. But when they happen, you praise God again, say, you know, that is amazing. If you are in a situation where you feel like it is hopeless, you have to say, actually, God, I want to see something that I've not seen before because I believe you can do it. If your heart and your mind, you're plagued by fears or doubts or worries, you're saying, actually, God, I believe you can set me free from those things. I believe in you, Jesus. If you feel like your relationships with people are so broken down, you're not sure if there's any hope, you have to stop and say, actually, Jesus, I want to see something different. And I look to you and I hope and I put my hope in you. The same way these four men brought their paralyzed friend to say, you know what? I want to bring them to see Jesus. And at the end, you will have this ability to say, we have never seen anything like this. It's with that that I want us to stop and as we come to a time of worship to really say, actually, Jesus, you are amazing. You are great. You are wonderful. You are fantastic. And I want to stand on nothing else than on your word and on your truth. I want to believe more than I've ever believed before because you have the power to transform. Will you join me in a word of prayer as the worship team comes up? Lord Jesus, indeed, we thank you very, very much, Lord, because you are the one who performs the miraculous. You transform our hearts, our minds, our soul, our spirit. You transform our relationships. So now as we come to worship you, Lord, really fill this place with a spirit of celebration, of joy, of triumph, to let our eyes be opened up to see that, God, you are indeed the victorious one. So we come before you now. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shall we stand?